Then girl and demon looked up at the solitary bear. He had no demon. He was alone, always alone. She felt such a stir of pity and gentleness for him that she almost reached out to touch his matted pelt, and only a sense of courtesy towards those cold, ferocious eyes prevented her. "Yorick Bearnason," she said.
"Well?"
"Lord Far and Far Decorum have gone to try and get your armour for you." He didn't move or speak. It was clear what he thought of their chances. "I know where it is, though," she said. "And if I told you, maybe you could get it by yourself. I don't know."
"How do you know where it is?"
"I got a symbol reader. I think I ought to tell you, Yorick Bearnason, seeing as they tricked you out of it in the first place. I don't think that's right. They shouldn't have done that. Lord Far's going to argue with the Sisselman, but probably they won't let you have it, whatever he says. So if I tell you, will you come with us and help rescue the kids from Bulvanga?"
"Yes."
She didn't mean to be nosy, but she couldn't help being curious. She said, "Why don't you just make some more armour out of this metal here, Yorick Bearnason?"
"Because it's worthless. Look,"
he said. And lifting the engine cover with one paw, he extended a claw on the other hand and ripped right through it like a tin opener.
"My armour is made of sky iron. Made for me. A bear's armour is his soul, just as your demon is your soul. You might as well take him away,"
indicating Pantalaimon,
"and replace him with a doll full of sawdust. That is the difference. Now, where is my armour?"
"Listen, you've got to promise not to take vengeance. They done wrong taking it, but you just got to put up with that."
"All right. No vengeance afterwards. But no holding back as I take it either. If they fight, they die."
"It's hidden in the cellar of the priest's house," she told him. "He thinks there's a spirit in it, and he's been a-trying to conjure it out. But that's where it is." He stood high up on his hind legs and looked west, so the last of the sun coloured his face a creamy, brilliant yellow-white amid the gloom. She could feel the power of the great creature coming off him like waves of heat.
"I must work till sunset," he said. "I gave my word this morning to the master here. I still owe a few minutes' work."
"The sun set where I am," she pointed out, because from her point of view, it had vanished behind the rocky headland to the southwest. He dropped to all fours.
"It's true,"
he said, with his face now in shadow like hers.
"What's your name, child?"
"Lyra Balakwa."
"Then I owe you a debt, Lyra Balakwa," he said.
Then he turned and lurched away, padding so swiftly across the freezing ground that Lyra couldn't keep up, even running. She did run, though, and Pantalaimon flew up as a seagull to watch where the bear went and called down to tell her where to follow. Yorick Bearnason bounded out of the depot and along the narrow street before turning into the main street of the town, past the courtyard of the Sisselman's residence, where a flag hung in the still air and a sentry marched stiffly up and down, down the hill past the end of the street where the witch consul lived. The sentry by this time had realised what was happening and was trying to gather his wits, but Yorick Bearnason was already turning a corner near the harbour. People stopped to watch or scuttled out of his careering way. The sentry fired two shots in the air and set off down the hill after the bear, spoiling the effect by skidding on the icy slope and only regaining his balance after seizing the nearest railings. Lyra was not far behind. As she passed the Sisselman's house, she was aware of a number of figures coming out into the courtyard to see what was going on, and thought she saw Far Decorum among them. But then she was past, hurtling down the street towards the corner where the sentry was already turning to follow the bear. The priest's house was older than most and made of costly bricks. Three steps led up to the front door, which was now hanging in matchwood splinters, and from inside the house came screams and the crashing and tearing of more wood. The sentry hesitated outside, his rifle at the ready. But then as passers-by began to gather and people looked out of windows from across the street, he realised that he had to act and fired a shot into the air before running in. A moment later, the whole house seemed to shake. Glass broke in three windows and a tile slid off the roof. Then a maidservant ran out, terrified, her clucking hen of a demon flapping after her. Another shot came from inside the house, and then a full-throated roar made the servant scream. As if fired from a cannon, the priest himself came hurtling out, with his pelican demon in a wild flutter of feathers and injured pride. Lyra heard orders shouted, and turned to see a squad of armed policemen hurrying around the corner, some with pistols and some with rifles, and not far behind them came John Farr and the stout, fussy figure of the Sisselman. A rending, splintering sound made them all look back at the house. A window at ground level, obviously opening on a cellar, was being wrenched apart with a crash of glass and a screech of tearing wood. The sentry who'd followed Yorick Bearnison into the house came running out and stood to face the cellar window, rifle at his shoulder. And then the window tore open completely, and out there climbed Yorick Bearnison, the bear in armour. Without it, he was formidable. With it, he was terrifying.